Hello. This is our podcast for class number 14 on October 13. And in this, we continue to talk about the special rules regarding non-physical injuries and specifically emotional distress. Remember last class we talked about direct emotional distress, that's fear for your own safety. And here we're talking about indirect emotional distress. Emotional distress brought about by seeing a negligent injury to someone else. And that's our so-called indirect or bystander emotional distress. We saw Falzone and Buckley talk about fear of injury to yourself. Buckley was phobia, not immediate fear, but Falzone was immediate fear of injury to yourself. Gammon said fear alone under certain special circumstances. Fear alone is, or distress alone, not fear for yourself, but distress alone, certain circumstances, that is, negligent mishandling of a close family member's corpse, negligent information about the death of a close family member. Fear alone is, distress alone is enough. And here we're talking about foreseeability, not foreseeability of the distress, but foreseeability of the plaintiff. All along, these courts want to limit recovery. They don't want to really focus in on individual case-by-case examinations. So they're going to look at limiting recovery to a discrete and identifiable class of plaintiffs. Now we're opening the door a bit more when we talk about indirect emotional distress, but we still have plenty of rules to limit recovery to a discrete class of plaintiffs. And our first case in New Jersey that opens the door is Portivi Jaffe. Portivi Jaffe follows the Dillon v. Legg line of cases because Dillon opened the door to this bystander liability. Dillon opened the door to bystander recovery, liability to people who are just watching an accident under certain circumstances. And the Dillon test is followed here in Portivi Jaffe. Was the plaintiff near the accident? Was the shock from the sensory and contemporaneous observation of the injury? And were the plaintiff and the victim closely related? And Porti, they've added even another limitation provided by Dillon v. Legg, that is that the injury to the injury that's being observed has to be serious injury or death. And yet you just have to recognize that where the door, they've opened the door, but it's just a crack, and they provided the limitation that those rules to determine the foreseeability of the plaintiffs, the Dillon standards, the Porti standards, are rules and not guidelines. So they're rejecting the zone of danger rule. Plaintiff no longer to have fear of immediate harm to themselves, but could recover from seeing harm to a family member. New York declined to follow Dillon and follow Porti. New York continue to have a zone of danger test for their bystander recovery. They're allowing bystander recovery, distress at seeing all of the, at seeing somebody of close family member injured, and it has to be a close family member, it's seeing, but they still require there to be a zone of danger. There has to be a risk. The distress doesn't come from fear of yourself. It is still seeing the family member, but there has to be a risk of harm. The zone of danger requirement is still there, even though the emotional distress is not based on the fear for your own safety. So New York doesn't follow Dillon v. Lake, opens the door to indirect duty based on indirect emotional distress, but the zone of danger requirement is still there. And then the Johnson v. Jamaica Hospital case reinforced that even more by denying recovery to the parents. Remember, the parents were left the baby there. The baby was kidnapped out of the hospital. Clearly negligence, clearly a duty to the baby. The baby had their own cause of action. For whatever, we don't know what damages. That's a separate case. We're not concerned with that. We don't know what it's duty, negligence, etc. We don't know what the potential damages are to the baby. I raised the possibility of very little. But the parents' own case, remember, you sue for your own torts, the parents' own case for their emotional distress for the 4.5 months of, undoubted, agony while a child was missing. The court said, now, under our indirect emotional distress rules, there's no liability. They rule it indirect, not direct, no direct duty to the parents, indirect emotional distress, and you have to be in the zone of danger. And here, no zone of danger, because they weren't even around when the baby was kidnapped. Now, even, if you're going to call this indirect, even under Dillon v. Legg or poor TV Jaffe, there wasn't going to be any recovery. So the direct versus indirect is a very a very important classification, and even more important in New York. Again, if we're going to label this as a duty question, and we're going to call it indirect, there's not going to be a recovery under any of the bystander cases. So the labeling is important. The notion of duty is important. And you see here how little these courts like these emotional distress cases, because they don't want the duty to run too far from the original negligence. They don't want their duty to run too far from the original negligence. Of course, here, you have to think that under these particular circumstances, they could open the foreseeability window isn't that huge. You're not going to get an unlimited number of plaintiffs in this situation. But again, court says the original negligence allowed the kidnapping. It was poor security. But what would lack of security case to emotional distress is just too far from the original negligence. And we see here, is it a duty question? Is it a proximate cause question? We're going to have the same conversation in a couple of classes when we start talking about proximate cause. We didn't talk about the consortium cases in class. They're easy. There was no line of cases there. It's just loss of consortium is a loss. It's a particular kind of loss. There's no, the court wants to try to put some value on it. It's, again, consortium is not earnings. It's a loss of companionship. Those are not based on a physical injury, but just loss of companionship. Well established that there's spousal companionship. Can a child recover? You know, it's a whole different kind of loss, but it's a real loss, and courts will allow them. So read over the material. I'll hold you to needing it. I'll hold you to needing it, but read over the material and do not. We didn't talk about it in class, but you're responsible for knowing it for any future tests. So please read it over, and you will be responsible for it, even though we didn't talk about it in class. Next class, we're going to cover the pure economic loss cases. There are two cases, and then I do want to move on to cover the beginning of cause and fact. So we will talk about Strauss, we'll discuss in class pure economic loss, and then start talking about cause in fact. So please read the Strauss case and be prepared to discuss it for our next class.